case, U.S. versus Abeda, 10-1995. Ms. Gambino.
Good morning, Judge Williams, Judge Bauer, and Judge Tinder. The question before the court this morning with respect to Mr. Abeda is whether the district court violated his due process rights at sentencing in two different respects, resulting in the imposition of an unreasonable sentence in his case. And the two ways in which the district court erred in this case were, first of all, by injecting the court's personal view of Mr. Abeda's background, criminal background, into the sentencing process by discussing the misdemeanor battery counts that involved violence against his wife and telling him that it made her skin crawl to hear about counsel's argument, which involved discussing marriage as part of one of the factors that the sentencing commission...
If I recall it, he brought it up by inserting that he was a fine family man?
No, Your Honor, that's not... In fact, the court sort of mischaracterized the counsel's argument, because what the counsel had said, what defense counsel had said,
he didn't want to separate him from his family.
Excuse me?
Defendant said he didn't want to be separated from his family.
That's true. He's...
Well, that puts the whole issue...
Well...
And she can say, you know, the way you treated your family before is for separating them from, as opposed to putting you back together. Well, go ahead, Your Honor.
Well, what, she was a little bit more specific than that and a little bit more graphic than that. And what she found offensive was counsel's argument about recidivism. And this, her, she was responding to counsel's argument that the Sentencing Commission's studies have indicated there are several factors that the court can look at to show that an individual is not likely to be a recidivist offender.
Well, she did see a pattern based on his criminal record of how he had abused his spouse, didn't she?
Well, that she didn't look at that as a pattern. She was offended by the fact that marriage was mentioned as one of the factors in considering whether a person is going to be a recidivist or
well,
not.
But her, she specifically said, but you do have a serious propensity to violence as shown by your prior criminal convictions and your possession of a firearm in furtherance of your drug trafficking offenses. So, I mean, she looked at his propensity toward violence, unlike the earlier case we had where the court didn't have, had very little to look at. Here, we had all of those, albeit they didn't result in jail time, but they were all violent. I think there were like three of them.
Your Honor, it's our contention that her characterization of Mr. Abeda as having a serious propensity to violence also was based on insufficient evidence, because she was basing this on four misdemeanors which were quite old. She was not basing this on any current information. And to the extent that she based it on possession of a firearm, that is not an indicator of violence.
It's age not 18, age 22, age 25, age 28. That's a pretty good pattern.
And I thought it was he was on probation for the 2004 assaults, which were revoked in 07 after he assaulted his wife. So it wasn't the last assault on his wife 07? Right, well, let me look at that.
I believe it was 04, Your Honor. That was the last conviction that...
That was the last conviction, but then there was a violation.
Well, yeah, in March,
right?
March of
07.
There was an allegation, yes.
And,
that,
and during the course of that, there's a search of the house and steroids, anabolic steroids are found.
There were anabolic steroids found in a residence that Mr. Abeda had, but there's no allegation or evidence introduced that he was using them as opposed to selling them, that someone else in the household was using them or not using them. There wasn't anything to support a current finding of propensity to violence. This was not a crime of violence. There was not violence involved, and his prior convictions were back in 2004, 2001, 1998, and 1994. So that is certainly not a basis for concluding that a person in 2010 has a serious propensity
well,
to violence.
Isn't part of perhaps why he didn't have any issues in 06 that he had this no contact condition that was part of the condition of his probation on the last offense, and apparently he had honored that from September of 06 till this March of 08 when he was placed in custody.
That is an explanation. It is also an explanation that Mr. Abeda certainly is not a person who has a serious propensity to violence in the way that courts have described that term. If you look at others who have been termed having a serious propensity to violence, certainly in the Supreme Court case law, you're looking at people who have actually, in the Deck case, killed an elderly couple after robbing them at gunpoint. In the Atkins case, kidnapped, robbed, shot a victim, had a history of four prior robberies involving assaults. Kelly case, kidnapping, murder, robbery, escape from prison with a shank. I mean, that's serious propensity to violence. We do not have a person in the form of Mr. Abeda when we're talking about four old misdemeanor offenses and no allegations of violence involved in the offense of conviction, who has a serious propensity for violence. Now, so there was insufficient evidence upon which to base that determination. And then with respect to injecting the court's personal feelings about his treatment of his wife into the sentencing, it simply had no place to be there, and certainly not in the language that the court used. When a person comes before the court for sentencing, they are already coming before the court in Mr. Abeda's case, accepting responsibility, being remorseful for the conduct, and well aware before their family and friends of the pain and embarrassment that they've been caused. To have that aggravated by a court claiming that some prior conduct for which he's already been punished makes her skin crawl is simply beyond what is reasonable in terms of addressing a defendant before the court. The purpose of the court, or the court's history, the role of the court in history, is to take the punishment of an individual out of the realm of the personal and into the realm of the social punishment for social good, and the court is to appear as a neutral arbiter and not as someone who has a personal stake at what is going on in a given case. And that line was crossed here by this court to the detriment of Mr. Abeda's due process rights. Similarly, with respect to the serious propensity to violence determination, there's an insufficient basis for it, and under this court's case law and the case law of the Supreme Court, a defendant has a right to be sentenced based on accurate and reliable information and not on speculation or determinations that are not founded in the evidence before the court. And if it please the court, I will save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
All right, Ms. Gambino. Mr. Connell.
Good morning. May I please the court? My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Western District of Wisconsin, and I was responsible for the prosecution of Mr. Abeda. Below, the defendant challenges the reasonableness of a sentence. Here, a full review of the record shows that the district court considered many things, including many of the points articulated by both defense counsel and the defendant below. Starting, and you can just look at in Mr. Abeda's brief in the appendix, starting at App 20, Judge Crabb notes that had an odd mix of qualities. She noted that he had this family that he cared very much about, his union membership, but noted his prior criminal history, and specifically noted that he had these batteries involving where he had beat his wife. And she was properly troubled by him arguing that he should receive a very short sentence as to count four of the indictment.
Well, what about let me just stop you there, because Ms. Gambino is really troubled by this making the comment that it made her skin crawl. And isn't that injecting some personal information that is inappropriate in the sentencing?
Well, I don't think, Your Honor, I mean, it's one straight comment.
Like a personal sort of characterization or...
Well, it was the way that Judge Crabb chose to categorize it. The defendant does have these multiple instances as set forth in the pre-sentence report where he had severely beaten his wife, and they're laid out in some excruciating detail in the pre-sentence report. I don't think, you know, one stray comment by Judge Crabb in the context of setting forth all the reasons why she was giving him at the end of the day, a below-guideline sentence as to count four would render this, you know, his due process rights were somehow violated. Ultimately, the complaint here by Mr. Abeda is that he just didn't get as short of a sentence as he would have liked, but he did get a below-guideline sentence as to count four, and this court has said it's hard to conceive how a below-guideline range sentence could be unreasonably high. But turning back to, you know, looking at the whole record, Judge Crabb considered all of his arguments and took those into account, weighed that against the length of the offense conduct, the drug quantity, the need to protect the community from the defendant, possession of a firearm, the presence of the steroids. Judge Crabb didn't say you obviously were using the steroids, but she said, you know, they did find these, as the pre-sentence report makes clear, there were steroids found in these 50 used syringes during our probation search, and that might account for, as she put it, one of the reasons why you have, you know, a little bit of a temper when it comes to resolving conflict in your life.
There was no evidence presented that that he was the one that was injecting the steroids, and no conversation with him, or that just wasn't addressed in any other part of the pre-sentence and not found by anybody.
Judge noted if you were using them. She didn't say you were using them, but they were found. And she said if you were using them, that might account for it. Again, it's just a passing straight comment in the context of all the reasons, including the need, as she put it, to achieve parity with similarly situated
defendants.
But you agree
that was speculation on her part?
Absolutely, yes. But based on the whole record, there's no question defendant's sentence was reasonable. He essentially prevailed on a lot of his arguments and received an 84-month sentence when his guideline range was 108 to 135 months as to count four. Unless there are more questions from the panel, I would just rely on the government's brief in this case and ask you to affirm the sentence and conviction.
Thank you.
Ms. Gambino, how much time? 2 minutes.
First of all, with respect to the comment about if you were using steroids, I mean, it's a speculation which leads to a characterization which is basically incorrect. And it's not just a matter of two stray comments. They're very serious comments that clearly had an impact on what the judge was thinking and what the judge decided to do, because she spent quite a chunk of time discussing them. So it's not something that can be simply shrugged off as, well, this is just the way she expresses herself, because she is not there to express herself. She's there to do the duty of the court and not to become personally involved, and certainly not to make her decisions based on evidence that's not present in the record. And for those reasons, we'd ask that the court remand the case for redetermination before a different judge.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gambino.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connell, for your fine arguments and your great briefs. We will take the case under advisement.